Well, Father God, just thank you for this time. And Jesus, we thank you that you're here by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And I pray, Father God, that what I have to share this morning is communicated in a clear, concise way. I pray for open hearts. I pray that Holy Spirit, you take my words and perhaps you mould them into spirit that would deeply affect people's hearts. In your name, Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, this is actually quite annoying, but I'm going to persevere. Because I think this is really important. Anyway, I'm still talking about the radiance of the kingdom. I've been looking at that for the last, well, several months.
I want to put it on me.
It needs to be on me. It's funny how you get some revelation through worship. So hopefully this will be a bit better. There you go. How's that?
Yes.
I don't want to see this on Facebook, by the way. Church WhatsApp, maybe. But no, the word radiance has been really impacting my life. In fact, when Jen and I went to one of our strengthen courses last year, it was something I wrote on one of Jen's cards.
Oh,
we were writing words of encouragement to the people. That they said you had to write one word of encouragement for how many people was it? 14 people. So you had to pray, picture that person, and write one word of encouragement. Quite difficult, one word. Some people actually didn't write one word. Some people were a bit rebellious. But I think I was consistent with one word, and I think Jen was. But one of the words I had for Jen was radiant. So it just almost, okay, this is really speaking to me, this word radiant. And as I shared last week, and the week before, and probably the week before, or the last time I spoke, radiant, in good old Google land, it is a shooting forth of light. So a bit like a firework, if you think. It's a bit of a celebration. A shooting forth of light is what the radiance is. So it's something bright which is being shot forth. But it's also radiant in, and as I was explaining last week, if you're out in a pod garden, sitting in one of those pods, there's this radiant heater. So if you're near it, you get warm, don't you?
Yeah.
So there's two things going on. One, the nearer you get to this radiant heat, you get warm, which is lovely. That's like being near to the Holy Spirit, nearing to the kingdom. You're getting that warmth, that real experience. But also, as being radiant ones to shoot forth the radiance of the kingdom to the world around us. So it's that sort of picture. But it's all really based around Hebrews 1:3. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. And also from the Passion Translation. Hebrews 1, verse 3. So in the NIV it says this. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The Passion Translation says this: the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins. Just let that sink in. And then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. last week I mentioned about, I seem to be doing these talks and then having to back up. I sort of started at the end and now I'm backing up. And last week I was talking about a radiant salvation, and that through Hebrews 9 and 10, there's a phrase that is mentioned in the Passion Translation, is once and for all. He died once and for all. And I started to talk about how we can possibly get into religious mindsets, religious thinking. And we may not even know that we're doing it, but sometimes, you know, we think we're perhaps in all this freedom. And that's the message of this morning, in actual fact, a radiant freedom. But we can get into this thought that, yeah, we are free. Not necessarily taking that freedom for granted, but we can get to such a place where we don't know that sometimes we can become quite religious in what we do and what we say. So it's trying to live in that place of true freedom in the Spirit. That's the place where he wants us to live from. So Hebrews 9:14, and this is just recapping from last week, to springboard into the radiant freedom message I had this morning. Hebrews 9:14 says this: yet how much more will the sacred blood of the Messiah thoroughly cleanse our consciences? For by the power of the eternal Spirit, he has offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice that now frees us from our dead works to worship and serve the living King. And Hebrews 10 to 21, I'm not going to read it now, I could do, but for the sake of time. But that, again, talks about being free and having fresh access to him. We have that free, fresh access to Father God because of what Jesus has done. But it's not necessarily my concern, but it is that we truly do live in this life of freedom. This is not to say that we lord it over people or we take that for granted, but it's that real sense of freedom, being in tune with the Holy Spirit every second of the day. And it's part of our three chord strand, as it were: build, live, bring, but to live a presence-fueled life.
Mm, that's right.
So the key verse for this morning is Galatians 5:1. So if you would like to turn there. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Last week I was talking about being, you're dead. Your old man is dead. When you've crossed over by accepting Jesus into your life, you become a brand new creation. Never been seen before. Can you get your mind around that? That, you know, this new creation that God has designed us to live in is something that has never been seen before. But it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. That phrase, I don't know if it struck you as being a bit like, okay. But it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He's the one that has set us free. But what has he freed us into? That's, for me, been the key question when I've been looking at this week, is what has he freed me into? And Friday morning, through circumstances, I had to go and take our youngest grandson to school. Lives in East Peckham. His mum and dad, our daughter, Wiz, had to go to school early, and his father was at work. And so I hot-footed over there. And before we went, we were playing this game where you've got a Velcro dartboard with numbers on, and Velcro balls, if you've seen it. So you just stand back and you throw these Velcro balls and they stick. It's a great little game. Not the way he plays it. It's like, like that. It's all over the shop. But it's great, but it just struck me. Some of the things that we get trapped by are like the enemy. When he just has that whispering voice, it's like a bit of a Velcro stick to your back. Yeah. So if you can imagine, your back is Velcroed, but he'll come and just perhaps attach something to your back.
Mm.
But the truth is, we all know that Velcro, you can just do that with Velcro, can't you? But sometimes that thing sticks. And all it is easy for us to know that we are free of it. We are free of it. We can just go just like that. It's as easy as that. But sometimes it sticks. But the other picture I sort of felt, actually, this morning, was that as I'm standing there like this, there are these Velcro things stuck here, which we can just do that with, because Jesus pays the price of that for us to be free. But he's put hooks in us that will pull us to the truth. So it could be something about our past, maybe someone's spoken something over our life, and that Velcro thing is still there, still nagging. But he's hooked us into the truth, and he wants to pull us. And then when I saw these balloons this morning, is it still there?
Yeah.
When I saw it, it's a bit like this. This nagging thing is attached to me, whatever it might be. But it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. Has set each one of you free. You're free of it. You're free of your old man. You're free of all of that. And I'm going to go through several points with scripture which will actually confirm that, which will be like a declaration of what you've been freed from. So in a simple picture, it's like this. Christ has come, and he's just purely done this. This is where it all falls.
Do you need help, darling?
This is where it all falls down, isn't it?
Shall I be the Holy Spirit?
Oh, Holy Spirit, come. It's a bit like that. You're just free. You are just free. That's who you are in Christ. Being blown by the Spirit as well.
In the heavenly realm.
That's who you are. You're not attached to your old man anymore. You are completely free. One of my life verses from Matthew 10:8, freely you've received, freely give. And that's stayed with me for over 30 years. Freely I've received something, freely give it. So the question is, what have I been freed from? What have I been freed unto? And I want to encourage you that if you don't have a life verse or life verses, then get one and put it into a statement. And I'm going to read you out mine. So this is sort of being a bit vulnerable. And this is something that we did some time ago, that you just would gather the verses that have spoken to you through the years and then put them into a declaration. So through Matthew 10, Matthew 28, Isaiah 61 and Psalm 27, and when I was doing this, suddenly it was actually on the Alexa. Probably one of my all-time favourite worship songs is I Could Sing of Your Love Forever, Martin Smith and Delirious, which impacted my life in worship, sung worship, dramatically. But I took those verses and I came up with this. I will walk in the freedom Jesus paid the price for, releasing this gift of freedom to the world around me, declaring heaven's kingdom realm is accessible to all, bringing life, healing, wholeness, cleansing, comfort, and being confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the sure and certain knowledge that he will be with me to the very end of the age.
Yes! So, awesome!
So, if you take nothing from this, you may have done that already, but you will know in your heart of hearts which scripture verses really speak to you, and just keep that close to your heart and declare it.
Get rid of the Velcro.
Get rid of the Velcro. So, what have we been freed unto?
Come on.
We've been freed from. It's almost like the so what, isn't it? Okay, I've been freed. Great. So what now? It's got to be for a purpose. So, this is it. You've been freed from Romans 8:1. What I'm going to do, actually, about it. I'll read out the scripture verses and then we'll just say together, I've been freed from, and we'll declare it as we go through it.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So Romans 8:1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's condemnation.
Yeah.
I have been freed.
I have been freed
from condemnation. Next one, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us for our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:19. So it's guilt.
I have been freed from guilt.
Cool. You're doing very well. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So he's given us the freedom of fear. So I have been free from fear. Romans 3, 23-24 says this, for everyone has sinned, we have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. Is that word freely again? He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from our sins. So that's talking about shame. So I have been freed from shame.
I have been freed from shame. Sorry, I was behind.
That's an echo.
I wasn't sure if we were saying it after you or...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I have been freed from shame.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. What was the reference for shame, Pete?
Shame, Romans 3:23-24. And then the next one is the power of sin. We've been freed from the power of sin. For we know, this is Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified,
yeah.
As we said last week, or as I said last week from Chris Valentin, he's great on this message that your old man is dead. He's dead.
He's dead.
We have been, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to it. Amen. So it's the power of sin.
I have been freed from the power of sin.
Hallelujah. Romans 6:5. For we have been united with him in death like his. We will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection like his. That's Romans 6:5. So we've been freed from death.
That's amazing.
And we've not just been freed from death when we die. We've been freed from it now. So we can live the life of Jesus right now.
That's good.
So,
I have been freed from death.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Wow. Okay. And I alluded to this last week about the law and how we can actually go back into our old man and resurrect our old man and speak to our old man and do things like our old man used to do. But, you know, we've been freed from that. So this is about the law, from Romans 6:14, which says this, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law,
hallelujah,
but under grace.
Yes.
And I've learned that grace is the empowering presence of God, to be who God called me to be, and to do what God called me to do.
Yeah.
That's what grace is, it's an empowerment that he places on each one of our lives, so she's saying, no, this is who you are. Even when we mess up and we stuff up, he says, no, no, you're way better than that. So, Romans 6:14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. So I've been freed from the law.
I have been freed from the law.
That doesn't mean you can be lawless.
No.
1 Peter 2:9 talks about worthlessness, feeling worthless.
Mm.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's 1 Peter 2:9. So you are freed from worthlessness. It's one of our core values is that you are valued, you are significant, and that's for everybody. That through honor, we pull out the gold in each one of us as we meet, and each one that we come across, you know, some people you think, oh my goodness, I've got no time for you for whatever reason, but they're created in God's image. Someone in there There's someone gold we can pull out for people. So I've been freed from worthlessness. I have been freed from worthlessness. Cool. Two more. Next one is hopelessness. Anyone been in that position before, feeling a bit hopeless?
Yeah.
Well, Romans 15:13 has something to say about that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just love this verse.
So
may the God of hope fill you. And I think in some translations, fill you to overflowing. It's not just filling to the top of us, but it's uncontainable. So it's just way out there. With all joy, not some joy, but all joy. And that joy is not necessarily just being about happy. It's about the joy of the kingdom of God, which is a very different joy. And peace, which again is a very different type of peace, the kingdom peace. As you trust, it's one of those, I love these in the Bible, it says, as you. So it's like a condition to it. You know, we do have our part to play in all of these truths. As you trust in him. And why? And this, again, I said this before, so that. There's a reason that you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, this hope. It's by the power of Holy Spirit. So that's Romans 15:13. And that's hopelessness. So I have been free from hopelessness. Final one, eternal separation from God. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Let's do this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
So that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have life eternal.
There's another so that. That's John 3:16. So we've been free from eternal separation from God. So I have been freed from the eternal separation from God. Amen. You've just declared the truth over your lives this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
Your amazing word that brings alignment. Jen mentioned this morning about crooked paths. Thank you, Father God, that as we can get back to your word, that word puts us back on the straight path.
Yeah.
We don't have to meander here with thoughts and things that could just, these Velcro things that would just nag us. But we are hooked into you that you will lead us into all truth through your Holy Spirit. I love that, Jesus, when you said in John 16, it's to your benefit that I go, then the Father will release the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. All truth. So we ask your blessing over our lives today, and over our families' lives, and those that can't be with us this morning. Glory to your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.